The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Tampa's first family of Ford is a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Completely redone. The Giant is back. The dealership is amazing. You must check it out. But more important, shop online, BillCurryFord.com. See all the 0% financing offers. General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready to help you all week. This is the week to buy a vehicle. Great inventory, so many specials. It's the end of the year. Your trade is never worth more than it is right now. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there first. Be smart. Bill Curry Ford has a nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. Joe Bucks fan discount is in effect. The Ira Kaufman discount is in effect. Just ask Sean Sullivan, the GM. But check out those deals. BillCurryFord.com. Our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. You don't need a storm to have a disaster in your home. It could be a flood, which are killers. It could be mold, which you could discover and be like, oh my goodness. You have to know who to call first. That is Florida's Elite Restoration. Before you call your insurance company, they'll come out, give you a free evaluation, and help you set a plan to attack it and make sure you get the money that's coming to you from insurance if that's the situation. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get to their website, see what they're all about so you know who to call. They should be part of your disaster plan. They cover the entire Bay Area. Josh Martin, big Bucks fan. He's the owner. He's got decades of experience with his team on the insurance side of the business, so he knows how to fight for you and make sure you get your property restored. And if you call and mention Joe Bucks fan or Ira Kaufman when you first call, if you eventually need their services, you'll get a $500 back from Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselitereStoration.com. Now, we got a hell of a podcast today because it is Ira Kaufman and Lee D. Kemper right there at the Lighthouse, Raymond James Stadium, late on Christmas Eve night, talking about what they saw, some locker room feedback, all kinds of stuff, and that's it. So we're going to kick it over to them, but I want to remind everybody, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, but they're not just beer. Their tap rooms have fantastic food. State Road 54 in Odessa on Success Drive, Clearwater, 49th Street just south of Almerton Road, beautiful indoor and outdoor seating there. Amway Center in Orlando, Ybor City upstairs in Centro Ybor. You can follow each location on social media to see what their specials are. And sometimes they have cool events. And BigStormBrewery.com, you can see all the menus and all the beers. And you can punch in your zip code, see what you can find near you, where you can buy Bromosa or their great vodka sodas. BigStormBrewery.com. All right, it is a glorious day for Bucks fans. What a week. 4 in a row. The Bucks are good. 8-7. They're a good team. They're a playoff team. They're surprising everybody. Unbelievable. Let's kick it over to the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, with Lee D. Kemper.
First off, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I'm here with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richie, the baron of Big Storm. It's Ira Kaufman. And just like you, we all witnessed the beatdown, the Bucks beatdown of the Jags. I never saw that coming. We're in the Jaguars coaching box upstairs, and Ira and I are hoping we don't get some kind of losing virus. Ira, when the Bucks went up 30-0, I swear I never saw that coming.
Well, first of all, I'm looking at the table here at the Jaguars coaches, and I put my hand down on the table. And it's all wet. I got to think it's teardrops from the first half. I mean, one, the Jaguars were awful. Two, if you're a Buck fan, you say, we made them look that bad. There might be a little truth to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, guess what? The Bucks have won 4 in a row, and they have lost 4 in a row. Two teams going in totally opposite directions. An AFC South division that looked like the Jaguars had it wrapped up a month ago, and now it's a dogfight. I think there's three teams at 8-7.
Indianapolis and Houston?
And the Bucks, with a win against New Orleans, and that's certainly not written in stone, can render the final game of the season meaningless, of the regular season. And with all that entails, and you know, how much is Mayfield going to play, and whatever. We'll get to those in a week. Right now, it's just amazing how the Bucks have turned this season around. Lee, and here's the other point I want to make. This victory was so overwhelming from the first couple of minutes. And I was thinking about this. I'm going through the play-by-play sheet. And I think it'd be hard to find one play that turned this game around. This game didn't need to be turned around. Maybe it's the Devin White interception right off the bat that led to a touchdown and a 10-0 lead. But if Devin White doesn't make that interception, you know, the Bucs are still going to win this game going away.
Mm.
They outclassed them. Like, they outclassed them. The question I asked for Todd Bowles while you were patrolling around the Buck locker room, and I'm in there for coach, and I asked this about a few guys, and I didn't get great answers, but I said, looking back, you know, that victory in Atlanta, that last-minute comeback, did you ever have the sense that that could trigger a run like this? You know, nobody would bite, really. Like, we knew that was going to be the turnaround, you know. But you look back, Lee, they lose that game to 5-8. This is a whole different conversation we're having. You know, and who knows if they win these other games, I mean, at that point. And they were all aware of Todd Bowles' future. Had they been 5-8, and the division title looked like it was long gone, you know, and then who knows what's going to happen with Bowles, with Mayfield,
with all
Mike Evans, with all of them. And boy, Lee, I don't remember a season where the narrative turned around so quickly.
I know.
From 4-7 to 8-7 on the brink of a third straight division title, they deserved everything they got today. The Bucs played a marvelous game.
Within 2 weeks, Todd Bowles went from being arguably the most hated Bucs coach in history with the general fans. Within 2 weeks, some sober people are talking about Coach of the Year.
They are. And when you and Isbitz release your poll this week, your Todd Bowles poll, I think he might have flipped the script. Because even last week, after that really good game at Lambeau, of which you were there, having a couple of brats and maybe more than a couple of brats.
One brat, but yeah.
In the last poll, the leading number was little confidence. It was like 45% to 50%. I think that's probably going to change this week. And it might be confident. Not very confident, but confident might rule the day at 40-45%. So that's how quick things can change. It's hard for me to imagine that the Bucs will drop the ball next week. They might lose, but they're going to play a good game. The Saints aren't blowing them out because one of the few games the Bucs played well before this four-game winning streak was in New Orleans. That was a complete game victory. And then the tailspin, you know, and then the bye week and then the tailspin. Man, it's tough to find fault with the Bucs. Speaking of Bowles, and we can tell this story. Late in the game, late, a couple of minutes left, we go down towards the Buck locker room, and we know that the Glazers, because, you know, victory was at hand, and the Glazers like to congratulate the players and the coaches as they come off the field.
I call it a receiving line.
Yeah, receiving line, and the door's open, and out comes Joel Glazer and Albie. And I mentioned, you know, I congratulated them, and I said, what's going on at the end of the game? I thought Trask was going to go in with 5 minutes left. You know, you got a big lead. And you must have heard me say it, and you put it out on Twitter, which is classic.
Actually, it wasn't about Trask. You were saying
about why are they throwing the ball?
Yeah, you said something like, isn't it about time to run the ball?
Yeah.
And I thought that was a fair question.
Yeah. So they mentioned it, and they said, oh, we saw the tweet. They thought I put it out. and you're standing against the wall, and I go, that's the guy.
Yeah.
And they weren't mad at you.
No, you fingered
me. And I got the impression that they were having the same conversation up in the owner's booth, but they were jubilant, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Prior to the Green Bay game, they struggled. They averaged 19 points. They struggled to get to 20. That's a whole game. I mean, this offense has suddenly exploded. I asked a bunch of players. I asked Tristan Wirfs and Mike Evans specifically told me this last week. He said, Lee, we're just learning the offense. It's still everything new. And I'm like, well, you know, there are 16 games into the season. How new can it be? And I don't know if they've been rehearsed.
That was a big theme in the locker room. Big theme.
That they're still learning?
That it took time.
Yeah, now I don't know if that was rehearsed or not, because I pretty much got the same answer from a lot of players. And I'm like, well, you talked about the first New Orleans game, and that was the first complete game of the season. That happens to be the only other win other than this Jacksonville win where they beat a team with a winning record. So I'm just wondering, like, why is it they apparently knew enough about the offense to get the job done in New Orleans? Why was there a setback? Were they trying to force feed these guys and maybe they had to pull back? I don't know. But they all pretty much gave me the same answer. On face value, it makes sense. But deep down, it's like they completely flipped. This team is almost like a different team offensively. Maybe that's the rooted truth. There's got to be more to it than just that simplicity, you know?
That was a recurring theme in the locker room. I talked to four or five guys. You talked to four or five guys. You know, What turned it around? What turned the season around? Well, we trusted the process. That's a big thing.
Pretty much.
By the way, Lee, speaking of Todd Bowles, I got to say this, and I think this is something that could get lost in today's game. Say what you want about his answers regarding the Devin White situation last week. They were confusing. They were conflicting. It was murky. But I'll say this, Lee. Ultimately, when you look back, Todd Bowles handled this whole situation very, very well in this regard. He never buried Devin White in public. He won't do it. He's close to Devin White. They're close. Doesn't mean Devin White's coming back as a Buck next year. If I had to bet, I'd say probably not.
I agree.
But Lee, he never lost Devin White mentally to the part where he wasn't going to be a factor on this team anymore. And then he goes out and he makes a play today. So coming into this game, I said, gee, I don't even know if I would play Devin White, the guy after what he pulled last week and this contract thing. He's been an attitude problem. Bowles didn't look at it like that. He never allowed himself to get beaten down by this Devin White attitude thing. And he hoped for the best, and he encouraged White behind the scenes and at the podium, which I think White appreciated. Some other coach might have buried him.
Yeah.
You know, after pulling that stunt last week where Bowles thought he was going to play, and then the biggest game of the year at that point, and he says, I can't go. I mean, what's all that about? I got to give Bowles credit for this, Lee. He's handled the Devin White situation very, very well. And you know what?
Internally.
Maybe White's a productive player down the stretch. We don't know.
Well, he was certainly productive tonight. You know, he got hosed out of a sack, that crazy call. And actually, Trevor Lawrence pulled a Houdini act on White. I thought White had another sack. I believe it was a little early in the third quarter before Lawrence got hurt, obviously. And I don't know how Lawrence escaped him, but he did. So that probably would have been another sack. Here's the headline on one of my stories. I wrote the headline as well. Devin White was either healthy or motivated or both. And to your point about Bowles, Bowles found a way to push the right buttons. He got him motivated. Maybe his agent got involved. So Devin, if you leave the team right now, no one's going to pay you any kind of money.
It would have been very easy to give up on Devin White going into this game. It would have been very easy for Bowles to give up on him.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you ain't playing. I'm going with KJ. Or don't say anything and just let Britt play. He didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Bowles didn't do that. And he was rewarded for it, by the way.
Yeah, rewarded with a heck of a game.
Winfield.
Yeah, Winfield. What more needs to be said about this guy?
Lee, you're more effusive than I am. And I've been calling him Rondé Barber. You're saying, gee, I think he might be having a better season than not. Now, you know, he's not going to have 8 or 9 picks.
No.
1 year, Rondé had 10. But he got his third today, I believe, which was a great diving catch. Lee, week after week, the guy's all over the stat sheet.
Did you see his stat line tonight?
That's what
everything
he does.
Yeah. I mean, he had a pass defense. He had a forced fumble. He had a fumble recovery. He had a sack. He had a pick. I mean, the guy was all over the field.
You know, and Nick Rapone's done a good job with him, bringing him along. They made some tweaks to his role. You know, just like Chris Godwin this year, Lee, and all of a sudden they switch him back to a natural position. He's more productive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why mess with Antoine Winfield last year? What are you doing?
I bet you, in retrospect, Bowles probably regrets doing that.
In retrospect. Let him play, you know, that deep safety. Read the play, which he's good at. His prep work is tremendous.
Yes.
You can tell. And he's always in the right place at the right time. I would say this was a complete victory, except for one facet.
They didn't
run the ball well. White, you know, had a lousy average today.
Now, part of that was they were pass happy tonight.
Especially in the fourth quarter, when you and I were saying, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's odd.
You know,
I shouldn't be nitpicking, but...
Well, the only thing you think of is you can't get Mayfield hurt. Yeah, you can't get number 6 hurt.
And he did get dinged up a little bit. He had to have his neck massaged. Winfield got dinged up.
How about your man Evans, Lee?
Oh, well, that's my guess. That, you know, year after year. Real quick, before we start talking about Evans, I want to mention to folks that Antoine Winfield was pulled off the field for a concussion protocol. He cleared it. You know, and just to give people an example, if a player is in concussion protocol, he is not available to the media. Because the cleat lights of the TV cameras, that's a no-no with someone with a concussion. They can't be in bright lights. And Antoine Winfield was available to talk to us.
Bowles said in the postgame there was no concussion.
Yeah, he cleared it. Mike Evans. My gosh, what more are we going to say about this
guy?
He's
got 13 touchdowns, at least 13.
Is he leading the league right now, I think?
He might be leading the league.
And he's 30.
boy, it's going to be tough to see him in another uniform. I'm with you. I kind of can't see it happen.
Well, Diana Russini, I showed you the headline. You love the headline. The headline was big NFL big shots say. Diana Russini, in her column Saturday for The Athletic, she spoke with, quote unquote, this is a direct quote from her story. I spoke with two NFL general managers, not named Jason Light. Both said they expect the Bucs to keep or try to keep Evans. And so you know Light talked to these guys because they talk to each other a whole lot more than we sometimes realize. And so I believe that's accurate.
But the decision's going to be Mike Evans to make.
And you got a
potential free agent.
Yeah. And I don't know. How much does he want to leave the Bucs? Now, that's getting to a gray area.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either. So, you know, would he accept a slightly lower bid than, let's say, Houston? Put him on Houston, look out. And that's his hometown team, sort of.
My Chiefs don't want my guess.
Yeah, Mahomes would love to have him. Yaya Diaby leaves the Bucs in sacks. A rookie who has only started, what, 4 or 5 games? He's leading the Bucs in sacks. He has 6.
You could look at it saying, where's Shaq Barrett? Let's go, Shaq. But the way the Bucs are playing, you're going to think positive, and you're going to say, the guy's having a very good rookie season. Both, by the way, Kalijah Kansey's no bust. He's having a decent season. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a pretty good draft haul.
It does, for
young Mr. Light.
Payne Durham, when he had that almost touchdown, when Mayfield, it was a really nice pass to him. I swear that looked like Gronk. You know, 80, big old 87. He's a little slower than Gronk. If that was Gronk, it would have been a touchdown. But I swear to you, it looked like Gronk. Big old guy, 87, hauling in that pass.
Lee, it's unbelievable how a narrative can change. Who's talking about Bowles on a hot seat?
Nobody.
Who's talking about the Bucs must draft the quarterback?
I raised my hand for the audience.
But you didn't say necessarily move up for one or whatever.
No. But I'm okay with trading up to get, let's say, Bo Nix.
Yeah, you got a Bo Nix complex going.
Well,
on.
I like that kid. I like the Bill Parcells theory of the more starts under your belt in college, the better. That was a big thing with Parcells.
That's not bad.
This guy's got 60 starts. Yeah, for example, Brock Purdy. He was a 4-year starter. Now, who the heck would have guessed he's doing what he's doing as Mr. Irrelevant? But he did have 4 years of starting experience, and I think that goes a long way to help a guy transition into the NFL.
Let's throw a little crumb to Keith Armstrong. A little crumb. Bucks won the special teams battle today. McLaughlin, Mr. Automatic.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime that guy misses, I'm like, whoa, did he really miss that? And their guy missed a 32-yarder.
Yeah.
I mean, that can't happen. It's very deflating when that happens.
Yes.
So this move from Suckup, who was steady but didn't have a big leg, has been a bonanza for the Bucks. I think Bowles was behind it. Jason Light certainly a part. But I think Bowles was the main driving force in replacing Suckup with McLaughlin. Now, I'm giving that one to Bowles.
Oh, I agree with you. He wanted a guy who's reliable past 50.
By the way, let me say this up front. We have the post-game stat sheet. Don't be fooled by the final game stats. Don't be fooled if the yardage is closed in the first half. This game was a blowout.
Yeah.
For example, first half, Jacksonville Jaguars. And this Travis Etienne is not bad.
He's not.
Like he's a bum. They had -3 yards rushing at the half. Now, they finished with 40 or whatever. A lot of that came from Lawrence scrambling for his life.
Yeah.
They didn't run worth a darn, the Jaguars. It's getting harder and harder to run on this Buck defense.
Well, that's a bold signature. You don't run on his defenses. They're finally starting to come around on the run.
You know, and here's another one, Lee. And we've talked about, I don't know how in heck Bowles does this. Say what you will. And by the way, this thing about him coach of the year, now come on, I'm not going there. there's a lot of compelling candidates. I'll tell you the guy who's going to get screwed. Kyle Shanahan. They always get screwed when you coach a good team, like Andy Reid coaches a good team.
Because they're expected to
win. And the Chiefs to go 13-4 most of these years. And Reid, you know, is no factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. It's always the guy that goes, 10-7 with a team that nobody saw coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be Indy, Houston, pick your poison. But it ain't going to be Shanahan, who's done a great job.
Yes, he has. But not Bowles.
Not Bowles. Nobody's talking about Bowles. Nobody's talking about the quarterback, except you, Lee. Except you. You still got Bo Nix on your mind. 4 in a row. I keep going back to that Atlanta game. How close it came to all crashing down.
Oh, my gosh.
How close it came. You always say if they don't make the fourth down run.
Well, that's Steve, but he's not wrong about the Rashad White when he made that. They don't make the fourth down run, they lose to Atlanta. And
They're 5-8.
We're not talking about coach of the year. We're talking about who's coaching this team next year. We don't know about Mike Evans. We don't know about Winfield. We don't know about Mayfield. We don't know a lot about a lot of players, a lot of coaches, a lot of jobs. I mean, that's amazing.
I think at the Atlanta, you know, looking back, it's hard to argue that the Atlanta game was the catalyst for this whole thing.
But what I can't figure out, how this team would scratch and claw just to get to 19 points, 20 points every year or every week, and all of a sudden they go to Green Bay and poof. I still think throwing the ball on early downs is the difference. I really do. What they do today, they threw on first down, very first play of the game, threw on first down, complete a pass, and I think the next play was a first down. You know, if you can complete passes on first down, you're gonna do good. Michael Lombardi always says you got to play CFL football. What he means by that is CFL. You have three downs instead of four downs. You got to pretend like it's CFL. If you can convert on first and second downs, you're gonna be good because defenses are built to stop teams on third and long. You don't want to get in third and long. The best way to avoid that is to convert on first down or convert on second down.
We hasten to add that. It's a lot easier to score 30 points, Lee, when you get four takeaways.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot, and they started a couple of drives in Jacksonville territory. They owned field position the whole game.
They did.
They didn't punt till late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Kamara was collecting dust on the bench. The crowd was into it.
Yeah.
Not a bad crowd. I expect a bigger crowd next week.
Yes.
It's all online, right? Now, Lee, if they lose the game and they go to 8-8 and you think they're going to beat Carolina at 9-8,
and talk about narratives changing. People a couple weeks ago, the Bucs win the division, they're going to get destroyed. You know, what's the point?
Yeah.
Cowboys have shown to be vulnerable. Eagles have shown to be vulnerable. The Bucs are getting hot at Christmas time, which is perfect. I'm not saying the Bucs will win and play the first playoff game because Cowboys are a darn good team. Eagles are a darn good team. But they have proven to be vulnerable. They can be had. I'm not saying it's... Well, no. I am saying it's not crazy to imagine the Bucs winning a playoff game.
And Lee, the flip side, and you're right about the NFC East teams. You're right about that. And the flip side is there's a decent chance, not guaranteed, but a decent chance, they go in with a 6-game winning streak. There's a,
possibly,
there's a darn good chance.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing we've learned over the years, Lee, those teams that go in hot into the postseason, they're dangerous.
2020.
They're dangerous.
2020.
They won their last four regular season games and then four more in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Ran the table. Yeah, I'm not saying the Bucs are going to run the table. I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl, but you know what?
And that was the year they didn't win the division, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were a wild card. You know, but why not the Bucs? If Buffalo can beat the Cowboys, the Eagles had a bad loss recently, why not the Bucs? Especially the way they're playing. I mean, does Mayfield look like he's playing like some pedestrian quarterback? No, he's playing really good. There again, contract year. Winfield, contract year. Evans, contract year. They're all playing great. Maybe Devin White, he may have saved himself some money with his future team.
By the way, speaking of your point, while you were traversing the locker room looking for crumbs and finding them, I was listening to Todd Bowles, and somebody said, which was a little presumptuous. Well, let's look ahead to the final week and assume you won a division title. That's a hell of an assumption right there. Bulls don't like that kind of an assumption. But the question was like, yeah, then what are you going to do with your team in week 18 if you don't need the win? You know, what are you going to do?
He bristled,
you know,
I bet.
You know what he said? Very sharp point by Bulls. He goes, look what we did against Atlanta in the last game of the year. We let our foot off the pedal and look what happened in the playoffs. He remembers that.
Wow.
He's not going to let that happen again. Now, that's assuming they beat New Orleans. I'm not saying that means that Mayfield plays all four quarters in Charlotte if the Bucs have already clinched.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going to sit him that game. Trask ain't start.
Well, that brings us to tonight. And I hate the nitpick. I really do. Especially after a great win like this. But what do you make of the Bucs just sticking with Mayfield in a blowout through the rest of the game and not playing Trask? I have my thoughts. What are your thoughts?
Well, It's a slight risk, you know. It's a slight risk because Buck Nation would really come down on Bowles if Mayfield would have got dinged up. He would have never heard the end of it with 5 minutes. Well, what's he doing in the game? But I remember that the Arians did that a few times with
Brady.
With Brady. We're sitting in the press box. What, what's Arians doing?
Didn't he do that with Jameis too once? At Detroit, when Jameis was going crazy in there and blowing him out?
Yeah, this was a game Trask could have played, the last 6-7 minutes. But maybe, what are you going to do? Hand the ball off with Trask? What's that going to do?
Well, that's what you thought they should have done. He didn't do that.
Yeah,
that was with Mayfield.
He didn't do it. I guess he doesn't want to take his foot off the pedal right now.
Well, maybe that's, that makes sense. I never thought of that. That makes sense. I put this out on Twitter. Maybe I'm way off base.
Did the Glazers see this tweet too?
I don't know. I think that I can't tell you. Maybe Darcy did. And you know what? I haven't seen Ed in a couple games. Maybe he was here. I
didn't see him today.
I didn't see him at Green Bay either. So I don't know. I don't know if I just missed him or what's going on. Usually he's around. Well, anyway, I put out on Twitter the fact that Baker Mayfield was still in the game with less than 3 minutes to go and throwing the ball tells you all you need to know what the coaching staff thinks of Kyle Trask. Is that unfair?
I think that's unfair.
Okay.
I think that's unfair. I don't think they would have thought that Trask was going to cost us a win at that point.
No, the game's over with.
And you're the guy that says you've never seen a guy make that kind of leap like Kyle Trask did this summer.
Yeah, I never. I'm sincere when I say that. He made some incredible headway.
I'm wondering if Trask is going to play at all, even if the division's clinched. I'm wondering.
Well, it doesn't sound like the way Bowles is talking.
Bowles has his mind on that Atlanta game. When the Bucs, I think, were winning comfortably at the half and outplaying Atlanta, and then
they let it go. Slip away.
And Ritter had a big second half, and then we saw what happened in the postseason. They came out flat. They had nothing. Bowles remembers that. He remembers that.
So not to get too ahead, I was going to ask about the Saints, but what other observations did you have on this impressive Bucs win today?
Well, one thing we haven't mentioned, Lee, is they hadn't played well at home this year.
That's true.
They hadn't. That Saints game was in the Superdome. The game, the Green Bay game was at Lambeau.
Mm-hmm.
Those were their two complete games going into today. And finally, do it in front of this home crowd,
mm-hmm.
very supportive home crowd. Buck fans deserve this. They deserve this kind of game
mm-hmm.
from the home team because they really hadn't gotten it. Lee, the Carolina game, the Tennessee game, the Chicago game, fairly unimpressive wins. Unimpressive. A win's a win. I understand that. But they didn't play like they did today. And the hometown fans deserve to see that.
What did you think about the pass defense? I thought it was kind of leaky at times.
Too much for my liking. Guys are wide open.
Yeah.
Too much for my liking. Now, the game was out of reach. I wasn't worried. All right, Ridley caught a couple of touchdown passes at the end. He gave 12 points. I don't care about a shutout. But I understand what you're saying. I thought the Green Bay game had parts of that
mm-hmm.
to it. The Atlanta game with Drake London.
Mm-hmm.
This defense that they're playing, Lee, it's pretty complicated. It's not the Tampa 2, which was very simple. Brooks used to tell me all the time. Rondé said it too. Everybody knew what we were doing. But we were so tight on the details, you had to throw perfect balls to beat us.
Wow.
And guys weren't going to be wide ass open. And this defense is a little bit complex where, they're sloughing off this guy and expect help from the deep guy. And there's some miscommunications. We're seeing it a little too much, Lee. Now, today it wasn't a factor because the Bucs were so clearly the better team. But it could bite them against New Orleans because, Olave's good. They got a deep guy named Rasheed. But I'm not ultra worried about Derek Carr. I think they're going to bury him with about 5 sacks. we'll talk more later in the week about it.
I know you weren't too happy with the run game. Early on, it looked like Rashad White had regressed. He was doing the same crap he was doing early. I freaked out.
Every time they run on first down, I can just hear an ugh from you. Ugh.
Well, it's not that they were running on first down. It's like there were holes. I'll give you an example. I think it was his first run, just the angle where I was sitting, which is right next to you, and my binoculars, I saw a path about 15 yards ahead.
You said it right away. Right away you said it.
And he went left instead of right. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
You said, there's a hole. Yeah. There's a hole. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. So I saw him regress as far as reading holes, reading blocks. I saw him regress. But he, again, like you said during the game, this guy is so good at making it, as in the passing game, making the first man whiff.
He's fantastic at it.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. I asked one of the Buck coaches in the locker room, Lee. One of the Buck coaches came walking by. And I said, big game next week. I said, Saints are an average team. You're not worried about the Saints. I figured I'd throw that out there. And he goes, they hate us, Ira.
They do.
They hate us. And I go, and you hate them. He goes, absolutely. It's a rivalry. Yeah. It's a grudge rivalry. Even when they had Breeze, you know, and Winston, and Brady, and of course that fantastic playoff game in the Superdome. When
they thought they were
when Devin White made the play,
yeah,
game, right?
Devin White and Winfield,
little Devin White.
All right, Ira, I think we've got it wrapped up about this game.
We're gonna wrap it up. And they say every game, upcoming game, is the biggest game. Well, guess what, Lee? This is the biggest game coming up.
There you go. Hope everybody has a nice Christmas, a nice holiday season, and go Bucks.